Buchem Abayim to the 10th, to the 16th, and continuing series of Shiorim on Yud Gimel Ikum the Rambam. We are the 16th lecture of the 13 Principles of Faith of Maimonides, and last week we began speaking about the 10th Principle of Faith, the Ikra Asiri, and we ended up with a stira, contradiction, between the guide and between the Mishnah Torah. And unlike other people, we do not allow in HashgafaCircle.com any contradictions between the guide and the Mishnah Torah. So, once again, I will go through the contradiction again. And after that, I will try, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, to try to resolve this apparent stira contradiction between what the Rambam writes in the Meira, in the guide, and what he writes in the Mishnah Torah. Now, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam speaks about God's knowledge in two places. He speaks about it in several places, but two places in particular. He speaks about it in the first section, in chapter 68 of the first section of the guide. And there, the Rambam is speaking within the context of what's called the negative theology. In other words, what can we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What can we not say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, the Rambam says in chapter 68, which appears to violate his negative theology, that is, that one cannot make any positive, cannot assign any positive attribute to God or an act of God. So the Rambam says, I'm now reading from, once again, chapter 68 of section 1 in the Schwartz edition, which I usually read from. It's at the last two lines, right? The Rambam says that, 175 the last dance. We came at Shehuchach by Chacham Moifsis. It has been proven. Shakelius Alev is God who sechel b'poyam. Right, he's an active intellect. Ve'ein bo koyach kol ikah. There's no potentiality to God's intellect. El who sechel b'poyam tamid. Right, he's an active intellect. Kifishi is baro. Kifishi yuchach by Chacham Moifsis. Right, kashal yapabim masik pabim loy masik. You can't say that sometimes he apprehends and doesn't apprehend. Actually, he's speaking about seichel, but of course the Rambam, we'll see over here that the Rambam is going to use seichel intellect and knowledge. They're not interchangeable, but basically the same rules apply because the Rambam mentions this in Perek Beis in Yesod HaTorah. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu is an active intellect, always active. That God and that which he apprehends are one and the same. What's Musa? God's apprehension and he are one. Meaning that God's apprehension is his essence. Basically, God apprehends, God as the apprehender, and the object of his apprehension and the act of apprehension are all the same. Okay, that's for the Rambam. And the Rambam, once again, I said before, here is speaking about Seichel, but the Rambam says the same thing we'll see with respect to God's knowledge. And therefore the Rambam says, right, does the Rambam, this identity or the object, the process of intellectualization, the intellectualizer and the agent of intellect, right, are not, this unity of the three is not only with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but with respect to every intellect, gambanu amaskil, also gambanu, also us too, amaskil, the one who act, the apprehender, intellectualizer, haseichel, the process of intellectualization, of our intellect, and davar echad, right? Except what's the difference? That God is always actively intellectualizing, but man, sometimes he is, says the Rambam, sometimes he isn't. In other words, basically, when we are actively intellectualizing, says the Rambam, then we intellectualize like God in the sense that the act of intellectualization, intellectualizer, and the object of the intellect are one and the same. But of course, when we're sleeping or we're not thinking, some people never think, then in fact, they're not one and the same. That's what the Rambam says. Now, so, in a certain sense, God is at one with his intellect, just as God is one with his knowledge. And the Rambam, right now, but in other words, the unity of God with his intellect is the same true for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for God, and also true for man when he's actively thinking. Now, however, right, the Rambam says in later on in section 3 of the Moreh Nevuchim, and this is Perachov, the Rambam speaks about the infinity, the infinitude of God's knowledge, and there the Rambam says, clearly, the Rambam says, his body in Eiful Bekama Abdel Mishel Midiyah Sele Midiyah Sele Das Kol Ben Teira. I'm now on chapter 20 of section 3 of the guide, page 490 in the Schwartz edition, the last paragraph, three lines from the bottom. His bayonets, as the Rambam, reflect Eiful, therefore Bekama Abdelim, the differences, Shoinei Diyaseinu. How different is his knowledge Midiyaseinu from our knowledge, the Das Kol Ben Teira. This is the Teira Hashkafa. Okay? Reishis b'chav, she'idea ha'achas chlefefes al mosai yidea rabim u'miminim shoinim. God's knowledge goes on all different types of things. She'idea b'chav shim yeches l'ma shalo balidei metziyas. God's knowledge is also on things which don't even exist, which never come into existence. She'idea b'chav shim yeches l'ma shu ein soifi. Also, God's knowledge is infinite. Reviyas b'chav she'idea so eno mishtana im asakas v'chudoshim. God's knowledge does not change, right? And you know, at the time of apprehension. So the Rambam bliss, right? Achnir sheyedi, right? And chamishis says the Rambam fifthly, shebehetem ledas terasenu enyed yisalab mitziyu miachish teyavshuays, etc., etc. In other words, basically, the Rambam lists five differences. Now, the Rambam, right? The Rambam doesn't list that God, the act of knowledge, the knower, and the object knowledge are one and the same. Rambam doesn't list that. Over here. Because obviously, just like intellect and knowledge, when a person is actively intellectualizing, so therefore the unity of the act of intellectualization, intellectualizer, and the act of intellect are one and the same. So too, when a person is actively knowing, the knower, the act of knowledge, and the process of knowledge, the process of knowing, are one and the same too. The Rambam doesn't list that here in the differences between why, because the Rambam lists here in chapter 20, because the Rambam understands that just like with respect to intellectual apprehension, the three are one, both in man and both in God, so too with respect to knowledge, right, the three are one, both in man and both in God. So if that's true, the Rambam clearly understands that the unity of God and his knowledge are the same with respect to God and respect to man when he's in the act of knowing. So if this is true, why does the Rambam say in Perek Beis and Halacha Tes of Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam speaks about the fact that God's knowledge is not independent of him, it's not something separate from him, and the Rambam says, Nimtzes, I'm now in Perek Beis Halacha Yod in Yesodei HaTorah, God is the knower, God is the object of knowledge, and God is the process of knowing, all is one. No one can understand this. There was a difference between, the reason you can't speak about God knows something is because God and knowledge are not two separate things, they're one thing. So, if this is true, so the Rambam, first of all, is clearly contradicting himself, because this unity of knower, object of knowledge, and act of knowing, which the Rambam understands to be the distinction between God as a knower and man as a knower, which allows man to have free will, despite God's knowledge, as the Rambam explains in Perek Hilchos Teshuvah, which we did last time. The fact is that in the Moreh Nevuchim, the God reflects, the Rambam rejects this. Rambam says that just as, right, just like God is the knower, the object of knowledge, and the act of knowledge, that they're all one in God, so too, when man is in the process of knowing, respect to man too, just like his intellect, so with his knowledge. man is the knower, the object of knowledge, and the act of knowing are one and the same for man too when he's actively knowing. So therefore we have a salient contradiction between what the Rambam says in the Gad, the Moreh Nevuchim, and what the Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah. That's how we left things last time. Okay, now, so there are two answers that one can give. There's a safe answer, which is a technical answer, but I think there's a deeper answer, which is a, what we suddenly call this, the cutting edge answer. Okay, I'm going to explain this right now. Okay. I don't want to say the Rambam, you know, but the Rambam, you have to understand, when the Rambam speaks about the unity of God's intellect, God with his intellect, okay, basically the Rambam is writing that, and the Rambam compares that to man as an intellectualizer. Then the Rambam is saying that in the context of negative theology. In other words, the problem facing the Rambam is the following. Even though we cannot attribute any positive attribute to a Kodesh Baruch Hu that contradicts Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, nonetheless, we certainly have to speak about God's knowledge. We certainly have to speak about God's intellect. We certainly have to speak about God's Ratzon. We have to speak about these things. God without an intellect, God without knowledge, God without a will, doesn't relate to man and doesn't command. So, obviously, these terms are going to be a contradiction to the Rambam's notion of negative theology. Now, we're not going to go into how we resolve this contradiction. Those of you interested should look in the Hashkafasar in Rishimu of the Shafasar.com. There in an article, I think I write about God's attributes, I speak about this seeming contradiction in Rambam's negative theology. But nonetheless, in other words, what the Rambam is trying to bring about or express is that in chapter 68, there must be something in common with the way God intellectualizes and the way man intellectualizes. Otherwise, first of all, we can't speak about, if that's true, we can't speak about God's intellect. And also, too, not to mention the fact that in the first chapter of the Guide, the Rambam says, man created b'tzelem Elokim, means that man has an intellect and God, man intellectualizes like God intellectualizes. So therefore, there has to be something in common with the intellectual act of man, intellectual act of God. They have to have something in common. So for this reason, the Rambam in chapter 68, in order to speak about God's intellect and God's knowledge, and also to speak about, let's say, man is created by Tzelem Elokim, man has to intellectualize just like God intellectualizes. So therefore, because of that, the Rambam there is emphasizing the parallelism between them. Man intellectualizes like God intellectualizes. But that's because the Rambam, right? The Rambam is forced to say this is negative theology. And this is what we'll now speak about the Kodesh Baruch. In chapter 20, the Rambam is speaking about Hashkacha, God's providence. And there, the purpose of the Rambam is to emphasize why God's knowledge is beyond man's knowledge. And also, I mean, as made clear in Perek Inuchos Shuvah, God's knowledge is beyond man's knowledge because God has to have, man has to have free will. So therefore, to speak about Tzelem Elokim, we have to emphasize the similarities between God's intellectual apprehension and man's intellectual apprehension. To emphasize man's free will, we have to emphasize the differences between God's knowledge and man's knowledge. However, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam is not speaking about man's Tzelem Elokim. He doesn't speak about that in the Mishnah Torah. So because of that, there's no need to emphasize the comparison between the way God intellectualizes and man intellectualizes. Therefore, there's no need to compare God's knowledge, God's active knowing with man's active knowing. All we need to say is that God's knowledge is different than man's knowledge. And since it's partly true, certainly when man is sleeping, he doesn't know something. Whereas God knows something. God is never sleeping. God is always intellectualizing and knowing and active. So because of that, the Rambam, what the Rambam writes, is, let's say, it's not bediuk, not explicit, you know, not, in other words, in view of the Nebuchadnezzar, but the Rambam writes is enough for his purpose of the Mishnah Torah. In other words, this is the safe answer. He said, what the Rambam writes here is enough, since he's not speaking about the similarities between man knowing and God knowing. His purpose is just to emphasize the differences. This is the safe answer.
I'm not sure how that's really an answer.
Is that an answer?
You just restated the question.
Right. Well, that's called Lav Dafka answer. Right, okay. But now I want to give the real answer. Okay, now. The real answer brings us to a very, very big yesod, a very fundamental principle in the Rambam. And it's probably one of the most pivotal and central foundation in Rambam's philosophy. And the answer is as follows. In chapter 54, at the very end of the Mori Nevuchim, since it's the last chapter, one could understand it for all intents and purposes for being a climax of the Mori Nevuchim. So the Rambam lists different levels of perfection. And the highest level of perfection that the Rambam lists, which is, I guess, the fourth level of perfection, is intellectual apprehension. This is the highest level of perfection. Before that is intellectual apprehension. Then, certainly the Rambam stops listing things, but all of a sudden he says, there's one more thing too, says the Rambam. And that one thing is man imitating God. Right? Which defines what you would call man's ethical potential, his ethical nature. That man imitates acts of God. The acts of God have ethical content, as we've spoken about it in many shiurim before this. We've spoken about it even the Gimel Iklim. And man imitates God. Which means the following thing. Is that ultimately, the purpose of negative theology, and I think I spoke about this, the purpose of negative theology is to produce a theology of ethics. In other words, as man approaches, tries to apprehend God, he eventually reaches a state, an existential mode, where he's forced to imitate him ethically. And that's, in a certain sense, the purpose of negative theology. Negative theology demands ethics, and in fact, ethics is a precursor to ethics. Where man is bound by the finitude of his being to intellectually understand God, the attempt to understand him results in the infinite process of moral ethic, an act of behavior, a moral act. That's really, we spoke about this before, and that's a very fundamental point of the Rambam. Negative theology and ethics goes hand in hand. That's why the negative theology is so fundamental to Judaism, because Judaism is that religion which eschews a ontology, a divine ontology, in favor of a divine ethic. That's the essence of Judaism. That's Spitz Yiddishkeit for the Rambam. Now, so what we could say here is the following thing. Let's be brisk here. There's two dinim. The Rambam in chapter 68 is not speaking about God's intellect, the ontology of God's intellect, but ultimately speaking about God's act of intellectualization. In other words, and that's what Rambam says, that when man actively intellects, when man actively apprehends something with intellect, it's the same thing that man is in a certain sense imitating God. That's Salam Elokim. Man imitates God. In other words, man cannot intellectually apprehend God, but man can imitate God by intellectually apprehending the world. That's the That's what I'm speaking about. In other words, the Rambam in chapter 68 is not speaking ontology. He's speaking ethics. And what are the ethics for the Rambam? Is to apprehend the world. That, in fact, actually was the purpose of man. That's Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is, according to the Rambam, man's ability to intellectualize like God. Not to apprehend God, but to imitate God, right? A la intellectualization. In chapter 20 of section 3, the Rambam is speaking ontology. The Rambam is speaking about what's God's knowledge, what's the object of knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is infinite and has nothing to do with the knowledge of man. The Rambam is not speaking about the act of knowing in chapter 20. He's speaking about what is encompassed by God's knowledge. It's infinite, encompasses many things, all the details. In other words, the Rambam in chapter 68, section 1, is speaking ethics. Becoming. The Rambam in chapter 20 is speaking ontology. What is being? That's what the Rambam is doing. So in other words, when we say that man and God, right, are similar, or there's a parallelism between the two, we're speaking in terms of the parallelism of certain acts, the act of knowing, or the act of intellectual apprehension, or the will. The Rambam lists all these things at the end of chapter 69. But certainly God's knowledge, as an object of knowledge, cannot be defined, and is infinite compared to man's, the object of man's knowledge. In other words, the object which is called man's knowledge. That's a clear distinction in the Rambam. What I'm going to claim is the following thing. When the Rambam in Halacha Tes of Perek Beis of Yesodei Torah, there he's not speaking about man knowing something. He's speaking about God's knowledge. He's speaking about God's knowledge is one with God. So therefore, since the Rambam there is not speaking ethics, he's speaking ontology. He's speaking about what is encompassed by God's knowledge. So there, if I'm speaking about, when I speak about God's knowledge, what does God know? Not the act of knowing. I'm speaking about what does God know. So what God knows is infinite compared to what man knows. So even though the Rambam in Halacha Tes and Perek Beis says that God is the Yodea, the knower, Hayadua, the act of knowledge, who adas atzmoy, and the knowledge itself, the act of knowing, and they're all one, then we're speaking about knowledge, the noun knowledge, not the act of knowing. And in terms of the noun knowledge, in terms of that which is known, certainly God's knowledge cannot at all be compared to man's knowledge. And that's exactly how Rambam answers the question he raised in Hilchos Tshuva. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is not interested in God's knowing. The Rambam is interested in God's knowledge. God's knowledge does not at all compare with man's knowledge. As an object, as an ontology, God's knowledge is infinite beyond anything which man's knowledge can be understood ontologically. God's knowledge ontologically is in a different planet than man's knowledge ontologically. So therefore, when the Rambam says God is the knower, the object of knowledge, and the act of knowing, the Rambam is not speaking about God's act of knowing. He's speaking about God's knowledge, what God knows. God's knowledge is something that man cannot comprehend. So therefore, the Rambam in Halacha Tes Perek Beis in Yesodei Torah is speaking ontology, God's knowledge, what God knows. But in chapter 68, or what's implied in 68, what's implied in chapter 20 to 68, the act of knowing in God and the act of knowing in man can be similar acts. So in other words, let me repeat the answer because those present would like a repetition, like this. In the ethic of knowing, man's knowledge is parallel to God's. Man's act act of knowing is parallel to God's act of knowing. Just like man's act of intellectualization, act of apprehension, is parallel to God's apprehension. But in the knowledge itself, there's nothing to compare man and God to. That's chapter 20 of the Nevochim, and that's Parakhtes of Halacha based on the study of Torah. The object of knowledge, God's compendium of knowledge, what God knows, is incomparable to what man knows. So the Rambam in Yesod HaTorah is speaking about what God knows. What God knows is incomparable to what man knows. So the Rambam says, Hu Yedeya, Hu Yadua, Hu Yedeya, the Rambam is not speaking about the act of knowing. The Rambam is speaking about that God's knowledge is one with God. He's speaking about knowledge ontologically. What is God's knowledge? He's not using the phrase to describe an act of knowing. He's using the phrase to describe God's knowledge as a noun. What is God's knowledge? God's knowledge is one with God. Therefore, just like we can't know God, we can't know God's knowledge, what he knows. And that's enough to answer the kasha at the end of Parakeh in Hilchos Tshuva. Because I can't say that God knows something. I can't say that God knows this. And it says that man knows something. The Rambam Parakeh of Hilchos Tshuva just has to convince me that God's knowledge, not his act of knowing, God's knowledge is incomprehensible to man. So therefore I can't say that God knows that man is going to do something evil, do something good. Because I can't speak about God's knowledge. And that's what the Rambam means. Now, I want to claim, yeah, question.
I'm just struggling with the word. Who are you, Deah?
That can be understood in two ways.
He is the ontological, and he is also the...
No, we can speak about the noun. What is God's knowledge? I can speak about the act of knowing.
That's right.
Or I can speak about God's knowledge.
Who are you, Dea? Who are you, Dua? Who
are... They're one, but they're one is what?
But the what is the one?
The one can be understood as an object of knowledge.
Yeah, and the
one... Or it can be understood as the act of knowing.
And they're one.
No. Once again, but I say the three are one.
Yeah.
In what sense am I speaking? Ontologically or ethically? The three are one in our sense of the word. And the way we understand someone knows something, they're all one. But at the end, what have I said? I've said that God's knowledge is incomprehensible. But I haven't said that God, as a knower, is unlike man who knows something. It might be the same act.
I said that.
You know, you're confused.
I am very.
You're confused. There's no... The Rambam is using knowledge in a particular sense, and then there's knowledge in a general sense. In other words, when I use the human term, I know, something is known, the act of knowing, these three things are one. One with respect to one. Since I know these three things are one, what do I conclude?
What are the three?
The knower, the meaning, act of knowledge.
The knower means...
The knower means God, the person who knows something. God knows something. Okay. The act of God's knowledge.
Is the verb?
Right.
Or is the state?
No, the act. Is the object of God's knowledge. The object of knowledge.
Fine.
And then there's the act of knowing itself.
Okay, fine.
Okay, now, those three things are one in God.
But why is the knowledge itself, that's the ontology...
No.
Neither.
No, okay. Once again, the three things are one.
Okay.
Okay, now let's step back. I've said the three things are one. Now, what do I conclude?
I can't know God.
So like this, I conclude the following thing. Let's go back to intellect. Everybody agrees that God's intellect is greater than man's intellect, right? You agree with that? Bistama.
That sounds like...
No, it better be true. Some people think not
what,
like
whatever
that.
Is negative theology.
But man is created in the image in the Tzelem Elokim. You have to say that man has ability of intellect. In other words, like this. What I'm saying is, God's intellect is certainly incomprehensible to man's intellect. But the act of intellectualization of God as parallel to man's act of intellectualization. In other words, the acts are parable, but the body of intellect or cannot be compared. God, in other words, God when I'm speaking, when I'm God's intellect is much greater. Of course, he's looking much greater.
What does that mean? He knows more facts than we do.
Whatever it is, whatever you want to know, more facts. He's a bigger Balkishkin. Whatever you want, it's not important. In other words, God's intellect, his brain, is infinite compared to man's brain. But we can speak about God apprehending because we have to speak about man apprehending, and man's created but settled in the king. Or God can apprehend things too. In other words, when I speak about the act, the verb, they're comparable. When I speak about the object, the intellect, they're incomparable. So when I say the three are one, So when the Rambam says in chapter 68, the three are water, God, respect the intellect, he's only speaking about, and he says the same thing is true with man, he's only speaking about the act of God intellectualization is similar, intellectualizing is similar to the way man intellectualizes. But he's not, Chas v'Shalom, saying that man's intellect is compatible with God's intellect. It was the nouns are different. But the act is similar. That's similar, okay. The same thing with knowledge. God's knowledge is far more infinite than man's knowledge. There's nothing to compare him to. But the act of knowing of man can parallel God's act of knowing. And therefore I can speak about God knowing, Vayeid Elokim. It's not a violation of that theology. In other words, the act is comparable to man in the sense that what? There's a parallelism between the two because man can imitate God by thinking and by knowing. But the object, either the object of knowledge, not the object of knowledge, the totality of the knowledge, or totality of the intellect is totally incomprehensible. There was being versus becoming, or ethics versus ontology. Now, when the Rambam speaks in chapter 68 of the guide, he's speaking ethics. So now the three are one, in God, just like you are in man. In chapter 20, he's speaking ontology. He's speaking God, now God's compendium of knowledge. His infinite compared to man. You can't compare it to man. In Yesodiah Torah, God is speaking about God's compendium of knowledge. He's not speaking about the act of knowing. He used the same phrase, they're one, but the oneness of the compendium of knowledge is infinite and incomprehensible to man. He's not speaking about the act of knowing. That answers it. And that's what God needs to answer his question between free will and God's knowledge in Parakeet Lechus Tshuva. All I have to know is I can't say God knows what I'm going to do. God's compendium of knowledge is comparable to man. That's what the Rambam means. In other words, the Mishnah Torah is ontology. Chapter 68 of the guide is ethics. Chapter 20 is ontology. 68 is ethics. The Mishnah Torah is ontology. That's my answer. Now, however, this is what's called the conservation of philosophy in the Rambam. And I've spoken about that on several occasions. For example, in the Yukim Alikrim, there's no creation ex nihilo in the Rambam. Right? Briyesh B'ayin is not mentioned anywhere in Yesodiah Torah. The word doesn't exist. And in Perk Gimel of Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam lists the Apikosim, he doesn't speak of a Briyesh B'ayin. It's a Raivit, but not a Rambam. However, what's the flip side of creation ex nihilo? Bechira. And that's mentioned in Parakei in Hilchos Teshuva. In other words, there's a conservation of creation ex nihilo. It's Bechira. I want to claim there's a conservation of knowledge. In other words, the ontology of knowledge is incomprehensible between man and God. But where do we see in the Rambam that man's knowledge is like God's knowledge? Where's the ethic? I claim it's in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, in Yesodiah Torah, at the end of Hilchos Teshuva. Man loves God by knowing God. The act of knowledge of man is in fact what? An ethic. And there, we could say that man knows like God knows. I'm reading from Perek Sheni, Halacha Beis, Yesodiah Torah, says the Rambam. He speaks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Says the Rambam, what is the way to love him and to fear him? Right? So the Rambam says, "B'shashis b'ayin adam b'maizav b'uv and if loim gedolim when man comprehends things about the incredible creation, u'mizavet tayv gedolim leida Hashem agadol to know God." And the emphasis in the idea is made much stronger in Yesodiah Torah.
In
Tshuva. In Hilchos Teshuva. In Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam says explicitly, Dovi Yaduo Bora, this is at the Perek Vav, at the very end of Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Yod, Halacha Vav, Dove yadu bora, says the Rambam, it's clear, not in clear, she ain't of us, because when you believe it, she'll all about she has seen what tov it. Right? Kibosh Shetziva, right? Ela b'deya shiadeyu. In other words, man loves God by knowing God. B'deya shiadeyu. V'apiadeya p'ahava ima'at ma'atim ha'be ha'be. In other words, man, love of God is an ethic. But what is the love of God as an ethic? It's the act of knowing. So the act of knowing, the ethic of knowing, the becoming of knowing is in Perek Yod of the Chashuva Lachavav. The ontology of knowledge is in Perek Hay of the Chashuva and is Perek Beis of Yesod Yatira. So in other words, basically, we have a conservation of philosophy, a conservation of knowledge. The Rambam in the Bayer Nevuchim just emphasizes the flip side. But in other words, in the Rambam, we have an ontology of knowledge which is incomprehensible, just as incomprehensible as God's being is, so incomprehensible is his knowledge. But in the act of knowing, man imitates God. Man achieves an ethic of Avos Hashem, of love of God, and therefore man knows God in a way in which God knows. Now, how do I know we're comparable? Because ultimately, Yediya, Rambam also speaks about Masik Hasaga, that's Tzelem Elokim. So, in other words, knowing as an ethic is comparable. And that pops up in two places in the Rambam, Perek Beis, Yesod Yetera, and at the end of Hillel's Tshuva. That's my answer to the question. And this is a very, very big Yesod, the very fundamental, central concept in the Rambam's entire philosophy. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I hope I've given a satisfactory answer to this question that we asked. I think that it merited an entire shiur into itself, simply because it's such a major foundation in the Rambam's entire philosophy. We're not going to, the next ikar, the next principle of faith of the Rambam, is in fact Schava Oynesh, reward and punishment. And that's something which we can begin here. We're going to focus on, the Rambam speaks about it actually in beginning in chapter 17 of section 3 in the Mor Nevuchim. There the Rambam brings up the different opinions of what is providence, which is Schava Oynesh. And we're going to speak about next time. I don't know what next time will be, because we're coming up to as a Mancher Hoseinu, and people are busy preparing for Pesach, including here in Eretz Yisrael. And B'yat Hashem, after Pesach, we will once again resume from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, 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 until next time, Kol Tov.